A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
There is absolutely no news worth talking about today. That is, unless the New York Times says it's news. Because if it's not their propaganda, it's too close to the truth. And Americans just can't handle the truth. Unless, of course, they are adversarial. Just like me, Lair Adams of the American Adversaries, Drive Time on News Talk 660, The Answer, WORL. Friends, the next election may have nothing to do with party. It will probably come down to who you distrust the least. Now, trust me, our host knows it's all about party affiliation. Like the great New Year's Eve party at Cafe Positano's tomorrow night. Christopher Hart!
Oh, thank you so very much, Lair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this fine wintry Monday afternoon here, the second to the last
day. Winter, I was sweating!
Second to last day of 2013, and Nostra Dennis is going to tell us a little bit later on that a lot of people are saying, and thank God and good riddance to it. Okay, folks, and thank God that you're out there, and we really do appreciate you being there. 407-774-8255 is the number. And oh yes, we are live. And we will be here live tomorrow night as well. Now we will be taking Wednesday off. That's New Year's Day. And I hope a lot of you folks will be doing that as well and taking in some football games and doing whatever you do on New Year's Day. And then we'll be back on Thursday. And once we get back on Thursday, then we'll be back into our regular routine, Memorial Day will be the next holiday I think we actually take off.
So, man.
Anyway, we're back. We're in the saddle. And then hope you folks will be right here with us as well. Now, Tom Tillison is going to be with us a little bit later on in the show. We're going to talk some politics with him. As I said, Nostra Dennis is going to join us a little bit later on as well. And he's got some interesting poll numbers. We'll go over The Hill is a publication that comes out in Washington, D.C. They normally focus on congressional issues, but they've come up with their top 10 list of stories. And then we're going to find out who is the best dressed person of 2013. Might surprise
Ain't
some
me.
Of you. So welcome to the show. I'm Christopher Hart. That is Lair Adams. We have Nick LoCicero on the bridge guiding us through the ether tonight, so we're in good hands. I hope you'll be with us until 6 o'clock, at which time Gary Coltbaum will give you the market wrap for today and perhaps for the year. I think the market's open a little tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to be a full day, so make sure you listen up for Gary Coltbaum. Welcome to the show. Before we get to Tom Tillison, I did want to talk a little bit about the president and get ready for his arguments for the coming year. Already the Democrats are putting together a strategy to push through. They're going to start with unemployment, extending the unemployment compensation for those who lost it, some 1.1 or 1.5, something like that, million people who lost it as of Saturday. Now, mind you that this is extended unemployment benefits. This is not just your typical unemployment benefits. These were extended benefits that were ended, and people knew they were going to end. But the Democrats want to reinstate them. And however long that takes, they want to have it retroactive to the point when they were discontinued.
To buy votes, maybe in 14? No.
We'll see if the Republicans have any stomach for it. Basically, they are saying, okay, fine, you figure out a way to pay for it, and we'll do it. The Democrat proposal is for about $25 billion. Just to tell you how difficult that might be to come up with, $25 billion is the typical number. That's one of the numbers that was thrown around with this new budget deal that was put together. $25 billion was some of the savings was $25 billion. And so it's not going to be that easy for them to do that repeat performance, if you will, come up with another $25 billion. So if the unemployment compensation is extended, it most likely will be in the form of new debt. We'll see. That is being lined up. And then, of course, the minimum wage. This argument is also going to be, they're going to be hitting this heavy early on. As a matter of fact, it's already started. If you are watching the liberal cable networks or the liberal news networks, you know that they are already pumping the stories out about the minimum wage and how it hasn't gone up in forever and how people don't have a living wage and how it will affect only so many people. And this is the jewel of it all.
Well, now, wait, you're talking about the living wage or the minimum wage?
Well, to them, it's the same thing. You need to raise the minimum wage and make it a living wage, which it was never intended to be. A living wage is presumably for somebody who's been in the job market and has some skills that they can sell for a livable wage. In other words, if you are unskilled or if you are a new worker, meaning young and never been employed before, you should not expect to make a quote-unquote living wage. You are going to be at the bottom rung of the ladder. That's just the way it works. But basically what they're trying to do is make that bottom rung higher or lower, however you want to look at it, easier to attain. And in doing so, of course, if they raise the minimum wage, it also means that most, if not all, union contract work will also go up because their wages are tied to minimum wage.
Sure.
Exactly. So we're going to be getting inundated with this. But what really gets me is these academic types. I was watching CNBC this morning, going back and forth between there and MSNBC, and they were basically running the same stories, you know, need to hike the minimum wage for the reasons I just cited. And then this egghead type, this guy who I'm sure has never run a business of his own, he's in academia, he's from one of the research institutions, he says, oh, yeah, we can raise the minimum wage to $10, and it won't hurt small business at all. And I'm going to myself, oh, yeah, is that right? You're going to increase the minimum wage almost 50%, and it's not going to hurt the people who have to pay that increase. Oh, no, it's not going to hurt them at all. Well, they just got all this extra money laying around, and all they got to do is it's like it's growing on a tree. Just go out there and pick a few more bills. It's not going to. What kind of moron is this? Obviously, he never, ever has had to make a payroll in his life.
Well, these are the same people, Chris, that are afraid of inflation, but think the minimum wage should be increased, which is going to directly increase the inflation. I mean, it's
you
nuts.
Make a very good point. He says, if you, this is the same fellow. I wish I'd have written his name down, but I didn't. I'm sorry. But he said, oh, yeah, if you adjust for inflation, the minimum wage should be raised. It needs to go to the point where it was in 1969. And that would be a little bit over $10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought to myself, okay, what happened in the years after 1969 when the minimum wage was that high?
Things didn't go well.
What did we have in the 70s that you were just talking about?
It wasn't like the recession or
double
anything.
Double-digit inflation! Double-digit inflation. One of the reasons that we have not had inflation since the 70s is because labor contracts couldn't outpace the natural growth of the economy the way they had done in the 60s. If you remember, the 60s, you had all these huge contract disputes. You had big strikes at places like GM and Ford and Alcoa. You name the place, and they had big labor strikes. And in order to settle the strikes, the corporations gave them a lot more money.
Sure.
And it created inflation. Because what did the corporations do?
Raise the price of the
product. You got it. There you go. So any fool who comes along and says that, oh, yeah, business, oh, yeah, they can do this, they don't understand the dynamics of running a business.
Okay, now here's the other side of it, Chris. This is the other insidious part people don't look at. And I talked to a restaurant owner who explained this to me. Okay, if you raise the minimum wage to way beyond what I have to pay now my employees, now you've got to remember my labor costs are set to a certain percentage that I can afford to make my bottom dollar.
Right.
All right. Now, that's going to obviously increase my labor costs, possibly drastically. I have two answers. Raise the cost of my product, which I'm going to do, and reduce the number of my staff. Because if I can count on less people doing more work and actually getting the same response, then I'm going to let go of 5, 6, 8, 10 people to pay the remaining people more money. Now, those other people, they're getting paid trash, zip, zero, nothing, garbage. They're sucking.
Well, they get to go out and collect unemployment, thanks to the liberals. You know, they create these conditions that throw people out of work.
Well, they say that's the answer to our economy,
and then
Chris,
they come up with this moral argument why we have to give them money because they have figured out a way to get them thrown out of their jobs.
But too, they add that on. Oh, they'll go out and spend.
Yeah.
Oh, capitalists love spending. They'll go out and spend our money.
Yeah. Well, it's uncanny how when it comes to forcing businesses to spend money, they seem to look at businesses as though they have an unlimited supply of it. But in other facets of the economy, they, in other words, in terms of equality and all this other stuff, they see it as though as there is a static amount. In other words, there's only a certain amount of dollars, and you have to squeeze here and there to get these certain amount of dollars to go around. So on the one hand, they think businesses have an unlimited supply. But on the other hand, they make the argument that, oh, no, there's only so much wealth to go around. It's duplicitous. It's utter ignorance. But this is going to be the argument. Get ready for it, because we're going to be hearing this for the months to come.
It's a simple-minded concept of, oh, the wealthy are bad and the poor need to take it from them.
And it is also based on false information.
Sure.
All right. And I've been wanting to talk about this article. It came out last Monday in the Wall Street Journal. It's entitled Obama's Misguided Obsession with Inequality. It's written by Robert Grady, who's a managing director at Cheyenne Capital Fund. All right. And he's done some research, and he's put together some interesting facts here. By the way, he sets it up that President Obama, in his widely noted speech, the one where he quoted the Pope, he says that there, and this is according to Obama, there is a growing inequality and lack of upward mobility, and that it is dangerous in jeopardizing the middle class. If it were true, he would be right. But in fact, it is not true. In fact, it couldn't be more wrong. And the middle class, let me just go to the facts of the article. He says that much of the data cited by people like President Obama comes from liberal organizations and the United States Census. And the way they measure things, they do not account for government programs, taxation, tax incentives, tax credits, insurance, and other benefits that you get from your employer. In other words, they're just simply looking at dollars and cents. They're not looking at all the other things that we take wealth from the upper classes and give it to the lower classes. You follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about welfare payments. You name all of that. When you calculate those things into the equation, when you calculate those things in, during the Reagan, Clinton, Bush years, income inequality went down, not up. During the Obama years, the trend has reversed. inequality has gone up under Obama, who wants to bring it down. Under Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, income inequality went down. And with respect to upward mobility, the United States Treasury Department has found that there was, and according to them, I quote, considerable income mobility from the decades 1987 through 96 and 96 through 2005. Once again, that's after Reaganomics took hold through the Bush, second Bush administration. The greatest boom in economic history, really, in the history of this whole darn planet. All right. And that all income groups went up. It's like, what did Kennedy say?
Rising tide raises all ships.
There's proof of it. Here's proof of it. According to the U.S. Treasury and other organizations, here's the bottom line. During the 80s and 90s, the vast majority of Americans gained and gained substantially. Poor people and half the people in the lower income groups worked up at least into the next income group. In other words, if you were in the low income group, you worked your way up into the lower middle income group. If you were in lower middle income group, half of you worked up into the middle income group. Thanks to Reaganomics, trickle down economics. All right, I see we're out of time in this segment. When we come back, we'll bring in Tom Tillison. And, folks, if you'd like to join in, 407-774-8255 is the number.
Give us a call. We'll be back.
Hi, everyone. This is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversary, 660. W-O-R-L. Love ya.
All right, welcome back, folks. We love you, too. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We're the American Adversaries. Drive time, 407-774-8255 is the number. We have Tom Tillerson
on
the
line.
Well,
now, wait, Chris. Now, you know, she was talking about the hottest guys on the American Adversaries. I have a feeling she was talking about Tom Tillison. You know, there's definitely...
He is hot, and he's tall, and he's handsome. Welcome to the show tonight, Tom Tillison of Biz Pack Review. How you doing?
Hey, guys. If I'm the hottest guy on the show, you know, you guys are in trouble.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. Tom, we were talking about the Democrats, bless their heart. They've got a strategy. They've got an organization. We're getting ready to get inundated with arguments why there should be an extension of unemployment compensation and why the minimum wage should go up. Do you think the Republicans are prepared? Because these are the emotional arguments that are going to have some traction.
Well, you know, I think it was Andrew Breitbart who said, you know, if you can't sell freedom, you suck. When you look at these issues, guys, it's a real simple thing. You know, you laid it out very well, but ultimately it comes down to one thing: class warfare.
Right.
It's the Democrat Party, you know, wanting to slice and dice the electorate up into at least all these little groups and pander to them all. You know, they want to, you know, extend these unemployment benefits to convince, you know, the low income, particularly the low income folks, that they're looking out for them. They take these measures, but ultimately, it's Marxism, guys.
Of course.
You're absolutely right there, Tom. We lost your last point there. Can you make that again?
Sure. I was saying, you know, ultimately, it boils down to a simple thing: Marxism.
Oh, yeah.
These are Marxist principles.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what troubles me, though, you know, I expect that out of their side. I really do. What I expect, though, out of Republicans is to put up a fight against that sort of thing. And they don't seem to have the stomach for it even now. I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal article from last Thursday, Tom. It was on the front page. It's the entitled GOP Business Recast Message. And let me just read you a couple of the first quick paragraphs. the quick first couple of paragraphs here and get your thoughts on it. Republican leaders and their corporate allies have launched an array of efforts aimed at diminishing the clout of the party's most conservative activists and promoting legislation instead of confrontation next year. GOP House leaders are taking steps to impose discipline on wavering committee chairmen by threatening to take their chairmanship away from them, and Tea Party factions. Meanwhile, major donors and advocacy groups such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and American Crossroads, that's Karl Rove, are preparing an aggressive effort to groom and support more centrist Republican candidates for Congress in 2014's midterm elections. And this is the one that really gets me. At the same time, party leaders plan to push legislative proposals, including child tax credits and flex time for hourly workers, designed to build the party's appeal among working families. I mean, so often Lair calls Republicans Democrat light. Isn't that exactly what this is?
Well, you know, it is. You know, what they're doing, you know, is in effect they're, you know, capitulating to the Democratic, you know, point of view on all of these issues. Well, what they need to be doing, and you and I know this, anyone who on the right who considers themselves a conservative, they understand that the free market is the greatest force in the history of mankind. It is the only economic system that ever created and uplifted a true middle class in this world. And the Republican Party, instead of selling that, instead of learning to frame that message and selling that message, they choose, you know, as you say, that the Democrat light path to take on or embrace these policies that they think the people want. It comes like, I think it was Mitt Romney who said, you know, Barack Obama won because he promised to give people free stuff. And it seems like that's the Republican Party's response to that is to also give.
Yeah, they're going to try to outbid him. Tom, stay with us. We got to take the break. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're free stuff.
Orlando's intelligent.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, after New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's impressive re-election campaign, pundit talk has him winning the GOP nomination in 2016. Indeed, recent polling shows him as the only Republican candidate able to seriously challenge a Hillary Clinton candidacy. But after hearing more recent news out of New Jersey, I'm wondering if Chris Christie's governing style is too much like the current president's.
Chris, that's a great analogy. I mean, the word that I think of is bully, and that's actually what the article talks about. Christie is known to not like anyone to disagree with him on anything, and he's not really kind about it when he talks to the people who might have a difference of opinion. For example, he has taken police escort away from people at the very last minute that may have been on his side or may not have been on his side. He absolutely, positively looks for anyone who disagrees with him, much like the Obama administration does. And he'll scout retribution, alleged retribution. There is nothing about Christie that says he likes to talk to the other side and hear the other side's opinion. He only wants his opinion heard, and if you don't like it, you better figure out how to deal with it, because he's going to make your life miserable.
And evidently, even going to the extent of shutting down lanes on turnpikes or thoroughfares to make it hard for people to traverse because somebody didn't support him in a particular area.
That's correct, and even going as far as forcing someone to come up on stage who had asked him a question, challenged him on an issue, the person didn't want to go up on stage, but he had his people escort the man on stage and then got a finger waving. This man has no boundaries as far as bullying goes, and I think we are in for a lot more, and that's only the stuff that we hear on the outside, Chris. imagine what's going on behind the scenes.
Yep. Okay, it's just like the president. Past supporters and political foes alike can find themselves the focus of his fury. I don't think that's what we need going forward. We need something different. Thanks, Ted. Great work. Folks, get all the news on all topics at SoundbiteRx.com. So please, treat yourself. Go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Series where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
And that's who you're listening to right now. And folks, you're not going to believe who I have on the line right now. We have actually the international man of mystery, Tom Tillison, on the line right now. Tom, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys.
Hey, Tom.
He is mysterious, you know. You never know where he's going to pop up next.
Yeah. Tom, let's. We were talking about politics at the federal level. Let's talk about the state level for just a minute, if we could. Last Sunday, not yesterday, but the Sunday before, the Orlando Sentinel ran an article on the front page entitled "State Dems Will Push Civil Rights Bills in 14." And what they mean by civil rights bills is things to outlaw discrimination against transgender people and immigration benefits benefits for children of illegal immigrants and things like this. It appears as though the Democrats are going to move away from policy type things like Obamacare and focus both on the national, even though it's a policy thing with the raising the minimum wage and unemployment, they're going to hit very hard on an emotional level in 2014. Do you think the Republicans are prepared for that?
Well, I think it's going to be, in many ways, just like the 2012 campaign by Barack Obama, where he focused on everything but the economy because that wasn't working in his favor. Here in the state of Florida, it's actually the opposite because Rick Scott's position on jobs, the numbers are in his favor.
So why is he polling so badly against that other guy?
Well, that's a great question, and if I had the answer to that question, guys, I'd be sitting pretty in the state of Florida. However, the Democrats are not going to – they're going to make this race about anything and everything but jobs and the economy, and you listed some of those things. The other challenge that they face in the 2014 election, and even this going into the 2016 election, is to get the black voters to turn out at the same clip they did in 08 and 12. If they get that turnout, particularly in 16, Hillary Clinton will have a good shot at winning. Of course, these black voters are going to be less than motivated because of Barack Obama not being on the ticket. So the Democrat Party is going to make the civil rights issues, front and center as far as how they go at the Republican Party. And they're going to target these issues, and they're going to try to, drum up the base and get these folks to turn out and vote.
Yeah, well, I find it to be from the very beginning to even call these type things civil rights issues, I believe is, already allowing the Democrats to own the argument, if you will. I mean, right there, these are not civil rights issues. They are something that I would argue a little bit less than that, because when we think of civil rights, of course, we think of blacks not being allowed to vote and not being allowed to eat in the same place and things of that nature. And I don't think that these sort of things rise to that level. Nonetheless, I guess the overall theme I'm working on here is at least the Democrats have a plan. It seems to me the Republicans don't. And I think that goes as much to what Lair referred to in the poll numbers there as anything else. They really don't have a plan to make their argument and make it in a way that people would want to buy into it.
Well, you're right. The Republican Party, and this has been going on for some time, guys, and you know this, but they are so busy being on the defensive that they can't even put together a game plan to take the offensive. We saw that with all the way back in 08 with John McCain.
know, they're afraid to get aggressive with the Democrats. They allow, time and again, they allow the Democrats to establish the narrative, even they try to respond to that. And that's what leads in proposition every time.
All right, Tom, yeah, we're starting to lose you here on your cell phone a little bit, but, you know, is this simply a little bit more of a philosophical difference where the Republicans have to push an agenda of hard work and sacrifice, whereas the Democrats push an agenda of, oh, no, you don't have to do any of that. The government and the wealthy owe you. I mean, it's a tough nut to crack to try to push your particular ism if you're the guy pushing the tough stuff.
Well, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where you know, the free market, you know, capitalism is the greatest force known to man. You know, the Republican Party needs to learn how to package that and how to sell that, and instead of, you know, trying to jump on this bandwagon to see which party can give away more free stuff.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Good point.
All they want to try to do is outbid somehow. You're never going to outbid the people, you know, on the liberal side of the aisle. They're always going to want to give away more than whatever you're willing to give away. No, it's like you said, but the Breitbart thing. If Republicans can't figure out how to sell freedom, maybe they need to get out of the way and allow somebody who does know how to do it get in there.
Well, guys, how are we going to stop or even hinder the Karl Rove part of this party that seems to be taking over everything?
Tom?
Well, I think that they sense the upper hand right now. You can see that in their actions. They think they've got the Tea Party on the ropes. But there was a Harvard professor that did an interesting wrote an interesting editorial last week. It was talking about, you know, there's a growing distrust in America toward government. And if the Democrats are anything, they are the pro-government party.
Right.
And ultimately, as this Harvard professor wrote, ultimately, that's going to weigh in the favor of the Tea Party and Tea Party-minded folks. And he said, ultimately, he thinks that the Tea Party will come out ahead in this debate.
I certainly hope you're right, and we'll try to do everything we can to make that happen. Let's go now to bring Nostra Dennis in on this. Dennis, your thoughts on what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you know, I'm just picturing the mainstream Republicans and their battles against the Democrats and trying to subterfuge the Tea Party. It reminds me of that old TV show, and I might be dating myself here, F Troop, a bunch of inept soldiers fighting a bunch of slightly less inept Indians.
Who they were in cahoots with.
I think that's a pretty apropos comparison there. What about you, Tom?
Well, when you look at who the Democrat leaders are at the national level, we're talking Nancy Pelosi, we're talking Harry Reid, we're talking Chuck Schumer. You look at those people at the time, it was Barney Frank, and I would look at this group of people and say to myself, from a Republican standpoint, are you going to tell me that you cannot better these people, you cannot pop these people? These are the individuals that you are allowing defeat you again and again. You know, it's just like the whole F Troop thing. You know, who's more incompetent out of the two?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But I think the operative word that you used there was allowing. Sometimes I think that the Republicans, like Lair says, are Democrat light. In other words, they're more like Democrats philosophically than we might like to give them, you know, credit for.
It's kind of like, hey, yes, let's use their come on. Yeah, let's use their piece of bait for the vote.
Yeah.
And just not do it as well and try to take the moral side of it.
Yeah, but even when they do that, like this this budget bill they just passed, Tom, the more I find out about it, the less I like it. $6 billion coming out of military veterans' pension funds? I mean, that just ain't right.
Their only interest was to put all this behind them until after the election. They would have agreed to almost anything.
Obviously.
But at the same time, we're slowly learning that these guys, when they pass a bill, that really means nothing. And all it means is that, you know, they'll come back to this bill at a later time and you know,
yep,
grab at it and make the changes that they want to make. We will see them come back and make some changes to this military pension issue. We're also going to see them find a way to extend these unemployment benefits.
Yep.
So, you know, what they pass is really meaningless anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Nostra Dennis.
Yeah, I thought I was wrong. I thought Paul Ryan was smarter than this, but You can't out-liberal a liberal. And he's going to face challenges in his primary next year from a Tea Party candidate.
Yeah, and he should. And he should, Tom. I think he should.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, at the end of the day, the American people, particularly now more than ever, they crave good, strong leadership. And I think you have your ideologues on the left and the right, but mainstream Americans, whether they're Democrat or Republican, they will move toward a true leader. And if the American or if the Republican Party would simply put forth a true leader, they would be able to get the votes they need to defeat the Democrats at a national level. But they just seem, you know, determined not to do this. You know, and they want to keep telling us they're the smartest guys in the room.
And Tom, let me ask you this. What's wrong with a party's core being we want to shrink government? We don't want this big, overpowering government. We don't care about all the other stuff. We just want a smaller government. And that's what the Republican Party, the mainstream Republican Party, is kissing off right now.
Well, because they cannot figure out how to sell the benefits of smaller government. They're not even in the game when it comes to trying to control the narrative, which is really disturbing to me. You know, I just don't know what it will take for them to understand how important it is to, you know, to control pop culture in this country and to control, you know, at least the portion of the media that's putting the message out there to the folks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Hey, Dennis, before we let Tom go, can you give us the results of that poll of Americans looking at 2013? I want to get his thoughts on that.
Yeah, I said on the Sunday night show, I read that memo, year 2013, effective this Tuesday at 11:59, your services will no longer be needed. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Well, apparently most Americans believe that. The flip side of that is, people are a little happier this year than they were last year, and a little happier than that from 2 years ago. So things don't stink as much as they did in 2010, 2011, and 2012, but they're still pretty bad.
Well, that can be a good and bad thing.
In other words, people are kind of glad to see 2013 go by the wayside. Tom?
Well, you know, everyone, when it's a new year, you know, the January 1st, everybody's full of high hopes. We all have our resolutions, and we all think this is going to be a great year. You know, and it's easy to look back on this past year and say, you know, let's put that in the bank and let's move on. I think, you know, from an economic standpoint, things are slowly getting better. But it's a matter of us getting used to subpar performance.
That's right, getting used to the crap.
Exactly. We're used to a subpar performance now. So, you know, it's bad, but, you know, it's not terrible. So we'll accept that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm afraid of with Obamacare. And that is, if the Republicans can't get their act together and do something about it, that people will basically, as you say, get used to it. And that will be bad for the United States and all of us as well. Tom, any last thoughts before we let you go?
Well, again, and all these things as far as looking ahead in 2014 and 2016, as you just mentioned, Obamacare is still yet to play out. So all bets are off until we see how that ultimately plays out.
All right. We know you're going to be working hard at digging up the truth and presenting it at bizpackreview.com and on our show. We look forward to having you as a regular through 2014, Tom.
Awesome, guys. I look forward to it as well.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. And you have a great New Year's, and we'll talk to you either Friday or Monday next week.
Okay, guys. Happy New Year.
All right. Same to you. All right. Dennis, we're going to go ahead and take the break. When we come back from the break, I want to hear those top 10 stories from the Hill, if we can.
Will do.
All right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time.
You know it. And Noster Dennis and our buddy Tom Tillison, they all have a big, giant crank. And on that big crank is the handle. Because they got a handle on things, just like the American Adversaries.
Our political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
All right, welcome back, folks. don't forget, we will be here tomorrow night on New Year's Eve, and we would love to have you come and join us at Cafe Positano. Our reservations are at 9 o'clock. If you would like to make a reservation for 9 o'clock or before or after, 407-774-8080. If they have any room in that book left, I know that reservation book was getting pretty full.
They went fast last year.
Yeah, 407-774-8080. If you can't make a reservation, just come on over. You know, we'll find room for you somewhere. There is no admission charge. I mean, no cover charge. There will be live entertainment. You just pay for what you eat and drink. There will be a fireworks show at midnight. Pasquale does a great job doing that. And complimentary champagne. So, you know, what's not to like? Come
That's
on over
right.
and join us.
That's right. And, folks, too, keep in mind that if you do have a problem driving home, the people there will call a cab for you. They'll get everything set up there. They're very professional when it comes to that.
That's right. Okay. Before we have a caller, I'd like to take her call. But I want to go to Dennis first because Dennis, you had a poll number you wanted to give us real quick.
Yeah, a poll number, a poll dance?
Yeah, two numbers together. The first one of them is that two-thirds of Americans polled described this past year as a bad year or a very bad year. 60%, though, say they're staying awake past midnight on New Year's Eve. So that's kind of like going to your enemy's funeral just to make sure he's dead.
All right. Okay. Dennis, can you give us those top 10 stories in rapid-fire fashion?
I'll do it quick. This is from thehill.com. Number 10, the IRS controversy versus conservative groups. Number 9, the Supreme Court strikes down the Defense of Marriage Act. Number 8, Harry Reid and the Democrats nuke the filibuster in the Senate. Number 7, gun control legislation doesn't happen. Number 6, immigration reform doesn't happen. Number 5, the war in Syria and Obama asking Congress to authorize an attack. Number 4, the Boston Marathon bombing. Number 3, the NSA's spying program. Number 2, the government shutdown. And the number 1 story of the year, according to TheHill.com, Obamacare's slow, bumpy, clunky rollout.
So Zimmerman wasn't in there.
That was the first thing that jumped into my mind. When you got down around 5, I'm going, where's the Zimmerman?
Where's Zimmerman?
Yeah.
This was The Hill, so it was a basically a political list.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that case was a political case. I still would.
People try to make it political.
I would put it in the top 10, personally. But that's their list, so they can do what they want.
But everybody agrees. Everyone agrees, Nestor Dennis. It was the big lie.
All right. Dennis, I want to take this phone call from Sherry, and then we'll close out the show with you telling us who the best-dressed man of 2013 is.
Which wasn't either one of them. And it says on Sherry's note here, thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous for a great 2013. Or is that American Adversary, Sherry?
Sherry, thank you for calling.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to you guys, WRL, and all your great guests for a great year of radio broadcast excellence.
Well, thank you so very much. That's very generous and kind of you. We do so very much appreciate it.
Well, I do, too. I got something to listen to every evening.
And, Sherry, we wouldn't be here without you.
Well, that's right.
No. But, you, Chris, you said you were going to, I'll get real quick with this. You said that you were going to announce some good news soon, and you haven't announced it yet.
I can't yet, but it's going to be—it's going to start happening a week from today. But that what's going to happen a week from today is just the beginning of the good stuff.
Okay, I'll be here listening.
Okay, all right.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you.
You too, Sherry. You
God
are the best.
We love you very much, and thanks for being a part of our show. We love having your calls as well. Hey, Dennis, how can we follow that up?
You were such a tease. Come on, we want the news.
We'll give you the answer. Don't worry about it.
People, look, there's been leaks for the whole last week going on here, and I want to find out who's responsible for these leaks.
Okay, Nestor Dennis, who is? Do we have a drum roll? I don't. Get ready with that. How you know the music? Okay. Who is the best dressed person of 2013?
Yeah, BZ Top, sharp dressed man. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
No, it's not Bradley Cooper, it's not Chris Pine, it's not Joseph Gordon-Levitt, although they all had good years. It is not Barack Obama, and it's not any of the Duck Dynasty guys.
Who is it? Donald Trump.
I got to tell you, Chris.
Don't say Kanye West.
This story has been the stupidest one you've assigned me, and I'll tell you why. Esquire Magazine, we know them. They're the ones who print the articles that don't get read unless there's something controversial in them. They've decided the best-dressed man of 2013 is a man who wears the same clothes in public every week, Pope Francis.
Oh,
Well, I was singing with the choir.
The guy never washes his own socks. I mean, he wears the same clothes every day, not every week. I mean,
I have never seen the Pope's outfit in GQ.
That's, okay, but now,
that's not fair.
In their defense, they say, well, you know, Pope John Paul II was buried in those bright red shoes, and the current Pope decided not
No, that was Ronald McDonald. That wasn't the Pope.
He's not dead yet. McDonald's may kill him off.
And they like that.
They said what now?
They like the fact that this Pope isn't wearing all the jewelry and the fur-lined capes that previous popes have worn, and that he's wearing a humbler dress.
I thought it was.
You know that how that makes you the best dressed man.
I thought it was all the bling and stuff that made you the best dressed man.
Now I got to tell you guys, I've been seeing the ads on Men's Warehouse, and they've got a special on Pope robes. And if you buy one Pope robe, you get five free.
Actually, you told me you thought it was the hat, right, Dennis?
It's got to be the hat. Come on. You're the only one in the world who could wear that hat. Come on.
Now, that thing also doubles as a water carrier, or you know, you can brew tea in it.
Careful now, Larry. Careful.
Only water.
All right. Hey, Dennis, you're going to be with us in the studio tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think I can break away from work early if they'll let me out, so we might even see Johnny Guns in the studio.
Oh, no! Don't tell me that.
And we're going to play Johnny's Year in Review.
It was great.
Again tomorrow night as well.
What an excellent piece of audio is that.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
And, folks, we'll be seeing you tomorrow, too. And don't forget, if you want to hear a show again or you missed a show, last night's show, if you missed it,
go to
our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and click on that archive button, and you can go right to it. Nick's got it all convenient for you set up. So please listen to our shows in the past.
And like Chris mentioned, we will be on the air tomorrow night, but we will not be on the air New Year's Day. We'll be resting just like you folks. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Night, everybody.
Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ as SA.